Thank you for joining me for the East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Today we are going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Santan and Queen Creek. So if you're ready, let's get going. Our first article is entitled, Queen Creek Poised to Cut Historic Water Deal. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, November 10th, 2025, and written by Paul Mareniak. Queen Creek officials say a proposed purchase of 12,000 acre-feet of Quahala Valley water annually would dramatically cut the town's reliance on groundwater and the rising costs that come with it, while locking in stable pricing for possibly the next 10 years. That amount of water will allow us to essentially get off of groundwater, and once we get off of groundwater, then we can manage our own destiny, said Town Utility Director Mark Skosipek in an interview last week. As far as our water resource future, we're not reliant on the Colorado River. We're not reliant on it if it snows in Utah. We're not reliant on any of the traditional Arizona problems when it comes to long-term water resources. The town council on November 19th is scheduled to formally consider the deal, which has been the subject of several closed-door sessions with town administration in recent weeks. The decision before council, the 19th, is whether or not to borrow the money that's necessary to purchase this 12,000 acre-feet, Skosipek said. In advance of council's historic decision, the town has scheduled a briefing for citizens at 6 p.m. tomorrow, November 10th, at Community Chambers 20727 East Civic Parkway. The town said the purpose of the session is to, quote, provide the information about an upcoming decision related to investing in the town's water future, end quote. That future looks bright for the town and financially more assured for water customers. With the deal, according to Skosipek and Water Resource Director Paul Gardner, much of the heavy lifting involving Harquahala Valley Landowners, LLC, in western Arizona has already been done with the town's purchase of 5,000 acre-feet, they said. The town worked for months to secure a deal for the water and a charter applicant to transport it, negotiating hydrology and legal technicalities. We paved the way for Harquahala Valley water to be a viable source of water for anybody, Skosipek said, adding other communities in Pinal and Maricopa counties will be able to look to the basin to relieve their reliance on groundwater. Because the 5,000 acre feet deal was successful, we basically proved it could be done, he said. And there appears to be plenty of water to go around from the Harquahala Basin. Skosipek said the latest hydrology study indicates, quote, approximate 8.2 million acre feet of water underground in the basin that's not recharged. That's not rainwater. That's not coming from CAP. That's water that exists for transport out of that basin as of May 2025, end quote. Town Council last week took an intermediate step toward arranging the financial aspects of the proposed deal by approving unanimously and without discussion a consent agenda item transferring nearly $45.7 million in unused capital project funds towards the deal. The town also is getting a bargain of sorts in the proposed arrangement in the form of a $20 million credit on future purchases, quote, because we blazed the way, end quote, by creating the hydrology and legal documents necessary for transferring the water from the basin, according to Skosipek. The consortium rewarded us and they did it before we actually accomplished it, he said. In a memo to council, town manager Bruce Gardner said Queen Creek had been offered a locked-in price of $20,000 per acre foot. That's good until February 15th. With an acre foot providing a sufficient supply of water for three households for a year, the amount at stake in the proposed water deal will meet the town's current needs, according to Skosipek and Paul Gardner. The action of the council is to purchase water to meet our current demands, Paul Gardner said. This is to offset the groundwater that we're currently pumping. None of this Harquahala purchase is being allocated designated for growth. He added that the total 17,000 acre feet of that water will produce 7,000 to 10,000 acre feet that could be used to offset any future growth. Once we get to where we've used up all our water supplies, he added, we'll have to look at other future water supplies, but that's in 2036 or 2037. But again, the action of the council is to purchase water to meet our current demands. The deal also will impact what a part of Queen Creek water customers pay. We are looking to lock in our pricing on this water for 100 years, which will allow us to give that pricing back to our customers for the next 100 years, Skosapek said. He noted that the price of Central Arizona Groundwater Replenishment District, CAGRD, water has been going up by about 4% to 6% annually. So we believe we can provide a reliable, sustainable, predictable, and more affordable option than just staying in the CAGRD, he said. An explanation of how that will happen will be part of tomorrow's town hall. But, Skosapek said, there's a bunch of objectives we have at the town hall. One is to talk about the CAGRD so people can understand their water resource obligations, but also to talk about this opportunity to deviate from the historic way we've done things. Officials also will discuss the financing and the timeline for starting the water transfer. Skosapek said the town expects to transition from the CADRD by 2027. Some of the logistics are still being worked out, but one of the promises we will be making is our customers will not directly be paying CAGRD and the town at the same time. Whatever the time frame we're talking about, they will not overlap. End of story. Our next article is entitled, Father's Nonprofit Memorializes His Chandler Daughter's Death. This was posted in the Santan Sun News, November 6, 2025, and updated November 11, 2025, written by Ken Sain. Arizona College Prep High School junior Sedalia Orr died about 2 years ago at age 16, but the pain is still evident when her father, Edmund Orr, talks about her. I share my thoughts and feelings throughout the process, which I think has been helpful to me as I just kind of cope with it, Edmund said. He wiped his eyes more than once while explaining in an interview who his daughter was. Sedalia was a budding scientist with an interest in chemistry and biology. She was a member of the National Science Honor Society, maintaining a 4.77 grade point average, and she was into jiu-jitsu and wrestling, reaching the district finals during her sophomore season with a record of 20-2. Sedalia was a vegetarian, telling her father that she loved the taste of meat when she was only 11 years old, but thought eating animals was wrong. And Sedalia was always kind and giving. She did a fundraiser when she was in kindergarten, Edmund said. Her grandmother had breast cancer. My mother and she's like, Mom, I'm going to raise money for that. Sedalia organized a baked goods sale to sell and put on a neighborhood talent show, raising about $1,000. And that giving spirit continued after her death. Edmund said she insisted on being an organ and tissue donor, and her donations helped people across the United States and as far away as Asia. Edmund says that it was clear his daughter was on a path to contribute to the world around her. However, she died on November 10, 2023, with very little warning that anything was wrong. A few months after Sedalia's death, Edmund established a foundation to honor her memory. It awards scholarships to young women interested in studying science, and it recognizes the top female wrestler at Arizona College Prep. But its other mission is to try to prevent other promising young women from dying by raising awareness. Sedalia died from blood clots caused by the birth control device she was using, NuvaRing. In 2014, Merck and Company reached a $100 million settlement to resolve 2,200 lawsuits related to injuries and deaths caused by the device. Then they put a label on, and they're like, he makes a motion like washing his hands. Edmund said, their sales that year went up $100 million the year they paid $100 million. NuvaRing is a hormonal treatment. Part of the mission of the Sedalia Orr Foundation is to push for more testing before anyone starts a hormonal treatment. I think it should be the standard, he said. In France, it is the standard. The World Health Organization ranked France number one in the world for health care in 2025. It ranks the United States number 37. Sedalia's death came with little warning. About 3 weeks before she died, she was competing in the freak show wrestling's Carnival of Madness in Las Vegas. There's 6,000 kids packed inside a gymnasium, Edmund said. When she came back, she was having some trouble breathing. We thought, well, it's probably a cold, maybe a bacterial infection, maybe COVID, who knows? She took a COVID test, and it was negative. Sedalia was looking forward to the state mountain biking championships in Sierra Vista. She was not even a quarter way into her pre-ride, and she couldn't even complete it, Edmund said. That was Saturday, and I was like, first thing Monday morning, we're going to the doctor. The doctors did a full workup, took x-rays, did a CT scan, and tried hard to solve the mystery. We did an EKG and there's a slight abnormality, Edmund said. We'll send her to cardio, but cardio was like, yeah, we'll see her in December. The date was November 6th. 4 days later, she died. Now Edmund advocates for testing before and after anyone starts hormonal treatments of any kind. There are a number of upcoming events to raise money for the foundation. The Sedalia Orr Memorial Hike is scheduled for November 8th. Cornhole Fest 25 is November 16th, and the annual Get Out of My Kitchen Pickleball Tournament usually takes place in May. There is one more event, though it's not officially tied to the foundation. Arizona College Prep renamed its annual wrestling tournament to the Sedalia Orr Knight Invitational. It's scheduled for January 30th through 31st. For more information on the events and how to help, you can go to Sedalia Orr Fund, SedaliaOrrFund.org. End of story. Our next story is entitled, Mark Lamb Announces Candidacy for U.S. Congress. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent, November 10, 2025, and written by Janet Pettis. Former Pinal County Sheriff and failed Republican U.S. Senate candidate Mark Lamb has announced he is running to replace U.S. Rep. Andy Biggs in Congress. Lamb declared his candidacy for Congressional District 5 on Saturday in Queen Creek after filing a statement of interest with the Arizona Secretary of State's office on October 20th. He is gathering signatures for his petition. I've worked hard to be a good servant of the people of Pinal County. I've worked hard to protect you and your families. I've worked hard to protect your freedom, Lamb said in a video taken at his announcement at Pecan Lake Entertainment and posted on his Facebook page. I'm willing to sacrifice my honor once again to be able to go to Washington, D.C. and defend your liberties, defend God, family, and freedom for you as well. Attempts to contact Lamb's campaign were unsuccessful as all emails bounced back. Lamb was defeated by Kerry Lake in 2024 in his Republican primary bid for the U.S. Senate. Lake lost to Democrat Ruben Gallego in the general election. In a November 3rd Truth Social post, President Donald Trump endorsed Lamb, calling him a, quote, MAGA warrior, end quote. As the former sheriff of Pinal County, Mark strongly supports our incredible law enforcement, military, and veterans and knows the wisdom and courage it takes to ensure law and order. Republican Thomas J. Feely, a former NFL kicker who played for several teams, including the Arizona Cardinals, also filed a statement of interest for Biggs' seat in April. In the same Truth Social post in which he endorsed Lamb, Trump said he liked Jay Feely very much and would like to see him run in a different district or for a different office. Feely works as an NFL color commenter for CBS Sports. He is currently collecting signatures for his petition. The Republican primary will take place on August 4th, 2026. End of story. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today we're focusing on the news of the past week for Santan and Queen Creek. My name is Leslie Hunt, your volunteer reader. Our next article is entitled, Queen Creek Kiwanis Club's Car Show Helps Kids in Need. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent November 11, 2025 and written by Janet Pettis. With a holiday season that is likely to see more families in need, the Kiwanis Club of Queen Creek is ready to help. The club that provides back-to-school and food drives is returning with one of its largest charity events. The club will host its 17th annual Kids Christmas Car Show and Toy Drive, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Saturday, December 13th at Desert Mountain Park, 22201 South Hawes Drive. The car show will benefit both the club and the Queen Creek Unified School District's Family Resource Center. The express purpose of all our clubs all over the world is to help children, and so our particular club here in Queen Creek is able to help the kids of the Queen Creek area, said Carol Prelberg, a member of the car show committee. We do that by partnering with the schools in some cases. It's all of the Queen Creek Public Schools, but it's also some charter schools and it's some schools that are outside of Queen Creek. As many as 200 classic cars, trucks, and specialty vehicles are expected to be at the event. Participants are asked to make a $20 registration donation and bring an unwrapped toy for a boy and a girl. We have people who come in with their hot rods that they have souped up. We have people that come in with these magnificent cars, Prelberg said. We've even had one year that I think the students at East Valley Institute of Technology put together a car. Proceeds are split between the Kiwanis Club of Queen Creek and QCUSD's Family Resource Center. At the end of the day, we wind up with hundreds of toys, which we then give to the Family Resource Center for them to distribute to kids who might not otherwise get a visit from Santa, Prelberg said. Those interested in participating can register online before Friday, December 12th at BIT, that's B as in boy, IT dot LY / kids, KIDS, car show. On-site registration will be available the day of the event from 8 to 9 a.m. The car show is free to the public, but guests can also give back by participating in prize raffles. One raffle is a so-called 50-50, with the winners getting half the money and the other half going to the Queen Creek Fire Cadet Program. Other giveaways include gift baskets and gift cards from various local retailers, with Total Wine and More is donating a wine tasting party for 20 people worth $600. The car show is just one way the Kiwanis Club of Queen Creek helps children in need. Club members put together holiday food boxes made up of items donated by students throughout the district. This year, the club is also gathering donations for hygiene kits. Another major program that is dear to Prelberg's heart is the Back to School Clothing Drive. I was shopping this year with two little girls that were sisters, and somewhere in the midst of shoes and underwear and socks and pants and skirts and so on, one little girl says to me, "This is the best day of my life." I mean, my God, that just melted me when she said that, Prelberg said. That's the reason why I do as much as I do for Kiwanis, because every now and then you learn just how much of an impact you can have on one child. The club also provides learning tools such as multiplication and division flashcards and individual dry erase boards for third graders in 27 schools. Prelberg said the club expects to hand out close to 3,000 of those learning tools. We award $15,000 in college scholarships every year as well. And in this case, this year, what we're also going to be doing is including not just colleges, but also if a student wants to go to a trade school, because I think that's really, really important, she said. QCUSD's Family Resource Center was supported by the Kiwanis Club of Queen Creek, is not to be confused with the Queen Creek Family Resource Center inside Wonder Wise Preschool, 21250 East Ocotillo Road. That center, which opened in June, is funded through a $750,000 grant from First Things First to the town of Queen Creek. First Things First is the state's only public funding source dedicated to early childhood development. QCUSD's Family Resource Center inside Queen Creek Junior High, 20435 South Old Ellsworth Road, has a food pantry for students and their families, conducts holiday food drives, and sends referrals to various state and county social agencies, as well as nonprofits that help those in need. End of story. Please send your comments about this article to azopinions@iniusa.org. We are committed to publishing a wide variety of reader opinions as long as they meet our civility guidelines. Janet Pettis can be reached at jpettis@iniusa.org. End of story. Our next article is entitled Chandler Unified Enrollment, Not as Bleak as Some Districts. This was posted in the Santan Sun News, November 4th, 2025, and updated November 11th, 2025. This was written by Ken Sane. School districts around Chandler are all struggling with the reality that they will have to close schools soon. Chandler Unified School District may face that in the future, but it's not an immediate concern for now. The CUSD Governing Board received its annual demographics update at the October 22nd meeting. The news wasn't good, but it's not as dire as what others, such as Kyrene School District and Gilbert Public Schools, are dealing with. Even though it's down considerably from where it has been, you've done better than most in terms of retaining your students, said Rick Brommer, the principal of Applied Economics, which provides the annual demographics report for CUSD and most other districts in the region. He also told the board that the district started off in a better place. You're one of the very few districts that didn't lose enrollment during the bust, like in 2007, 2008, and all, Brammer said. A lot of people left the state. A lot of districts lost momentum from that period. From then on, you continued to grow. Brammer said there are many reasons why CUSD now had declining enrollment. First, the national and local birth rate has declined considerably. Second, Chandler is nearing build-out with no space left for large developments that might bring in more families with children. Third, the city's population is aging. Older couples are staying put, and younger families have few options if they want to live in Chandler. There's also the cost of housing. Chandler's market is higher than its neighbors, with the median price of a home sold in the city at $530,000 in September, according to Redfin. Finally, there is increased competition from charter schools, as well as the state's empowerment scholarship accounts, which helps private schools and parents who homeschool lure students from public school districts. CUSD's enrollment hit a high of 45,814 in 2018-2019, Brammer said. The enrollment for this year is 40,099. He projects that CUSD's enrollment will drop to 34,839 by 2034-2035. Enrollment is the determining factor in how much money school districts get from the state. As that number declines, the state will give CUSD fewer dollars. The long-term outlook isn't good, but it does not appear that there will be an immediate need to shutter away any of the district's 49 schools. There are 16 of them that are above capacity, according to Brammer. For example, Santan Elementary has a capacity of 504, yet has 568 students. Riggs Elementary is very close to those numbers with 672 capacity and 757 students. The elementary school with the lowest percentage of capacity is Bologna at 82.2%. It has 434 students with a capacity of 528. Only three other elementary schools, Navarrete, 89.8%, Patterson, 89.3%, and Carlson, 88.0%, are in the 80s. All other elementary schools are between 90% to 112%. There are two middle schools above capacity, Arizona College Prep Middle and Willis Junior High. The lowest enrollment is Payne Junior High, which is at 91.1%. Castiles and Bashes Middle Schools were not included. They have combined campuses with their high schools, and the district lumps the numbers together. At the high school level, both Arizona College Prep and Castile are above capacity, including the junior high numbers for Castile. The lowest percentage is Perry at 88.6%. The districts that are considering closing down some schools have enrollments at or slightly above 50%. The CUSD did consider shutting down San Marcos Elementary a couple of years ago. Superintendent Frank Narducci told parents and supporters at that time that enrollment at that school would need to remain above 300 to keep it open. Otherwise, he told them it would not be sustainable. The district says current enrollment at San Marcos is 345. Bammer projects that enrollment will drop to 282 in 2028-29 and reach a low of 255 in 2032-33. However, Narducci is retiring at the end of this school year, and there will be a new superintendent in charge if it drops below 300. The bottom line is that this is still a vibrant district, still serving 40,000 students, and you still bring in a lot of kids from outside the district, which means your reputation is intact, Brammer said. End of story. Well, that wraps up our program today. For the East Valley News, for Santan and Queen Creek, thank you for joining me. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Stay tuned for the Arizona Republic coming up next on the Sun Sounds of Arizona. Did you know if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org/broadcast info and audio/on demand? Also, did you know you can take Sun Sounds with you? You can get our stream and on demand on our new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. Did you also know you can hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device? That really wraps up our show today for the East Valley News in Santan and Queen Creek. I am Leslie Hunt, your volunteer reader. Until next week, take care.